Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday. It's a red Friday. January 7th, 2020. January 7th, 2022.
You know, they changed the spelling.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
No, they changed
the spelling.
You
type it, I read it.
January. Starts with a J, ends with a Y.
January.
There you go. You sound good.
January.
You got it. That's what month it is.
2022. This month,
it's January,
is going by at a snail's pace. This week was the longest week that I've had in many moons. It has been an absolute struggle every day this week. But you could care less about the host struggling.
I really could.
It's just in. I felt like I was in slow motion all week. So. Here we are.
Getting back to it, man.
Friday, am I?
Well, I mean.
Back.
You had like a month off.
Or 11 days, whichever one. But now, back at it, ready to go, and ready for the final week of the NFL season.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
As the Chiefs take on the Denver Broncos and look to beat them for the 13th time in a row, and secure the number 2 seed in the upcoming NFL playoffs. And just so we could have the proper perspective, because I think some of it's been lost in this last week that was very disappointing after the Chiefs lost to the Bengals. You know, there was a time that we had people texting the show, tweeting at the show that, well, Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs this year. They're done. Well, Chiefs aren't. Maybe they'll make a wild card, but they're not going to win the division this year. No home playoff games for the Chiefs. And I know it's disappointing because the Chiefs had their arms around the number one seed only to let it slip away in Cincinnati. And we'll see if there's another football miracle left in the Houston Texans and they can beat the Tennessee Titans and give the Chiefs back that number one seed. But I'm not anticipating that. But, yes, it's bitterly disappointing that the Chiefs had a hold of the number one seed, let it slip away. But let us remember what it was like when the Chiefs were 3-4 and people were jumping off the bandwagon. And I remember, right around that time, I hosted a charity gala. What do you say, gala or gala?
I think I alternate between both.
Jake, what do you say?
I say gala.
Gala. And,
right.
Or do you say gala?
I say gala, like a delicious apple.
A charity event, and it was a live event with a whole bunch of people there, and I was up at the podium trying to get some people fired up, talking about football, and the Chiefs had just, I can't remember who they had just lost to, but they had a losing record, and I said, and this would have been like on a Saturday night, I said, and then the Chiefs are going to win tomorrow, and I said, and I promise you this, in a couple of months, all these troubles will be behind Chiefs Kingdom, and the Chiefs are going to be going right back to the Super Bowl where they belong. And there was, some people clap, but there was a lot of mocking laughter in the crowd. Because, why are you staring at me? Stop it. That makes me feel so uncomfortable. It's like you're staring right through to me in my soul, like you see me.
Yeah, look back at your screen.
Yeah, I'm not used to that. I'm used to you looking like everywhere else but me. And now I feel like you know something that I don't know. Like you figured me out, and I don't like it. I don't like that at all. I feel it's like there's heat. If there's heat,
I got my
comes
eyes on you now,
stare.
Buddy.
I'm not used. You don't usually do that. And he's changed. And it,
I know Jake says that New Year's resolutions are a stupid thing, but, you know.
It's because I could see it out of the corner of my eyes.
I'm just actively listening, pal.
Because usually.
For the first time in 15 years.
What are you guys talking about?
Usually you look at me when you want to say something, so I'm like, what?
Oh, I'm just eagerly listening. These people laughed at you.
I feel the heat of his stare.
You made that comment, and this is what you got.
Right. No, there's me. No, there's
feel the heat.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah. some mocking.
We're not really going to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
huh.
and yes. You can call me a homer, whatever.
Homer.
Whatever you want to call. The shoe fits, right? But I anticipated the Chiefs turning things around. I mean, Jeff Chedea mocked me until finally, was it 2 weeks ago? Well, you know, because you were right. I said, well, but there was ever reason to believe I wasn't.
And that's when you should have said, no, Jeff, you were wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Mike Boddicker, who once told you to not worry during the Royals wildcard game, told you the Chiefs are not making the playoffs.
Boddicker did?
Yeah, he was in here. He said, oh, they're not making the playoffs.
Well, he wasn't alone.
Right. No, a lot of people thought that.
And I'm not telling you I'm smarter than everyone else, even though that may be the case. I don't know. But I'm not telling you that. What a jerk. What a jerk I am. No. But no.
Proof's in the pudding, but you know.
But I, and I'm going to be the last, you know. It would be very difficult for me to ever declare the tandem of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They're not going to the playoffs. They'd have to be actually officially eliminated before I'd ever willingly admit they're not going to the playoffs. Now, I didn't quite anticipate them working their way all the way back where they would so quickly claim the AFC West Championship and then even have a shot. Like, I wasn't, back then, I'll be honest with you, I thought maybe by the last week of the season, they'd play themselves into a chance like this. Well, hey, well, that team loses and they win, then they can somehow reach the number one seed. I didn't think they'd have their hands around the number one seed so quickly. So, I mean, it happened fast. And also that has to do with other teams coming back to the pack and everything else. But the Chiefs went on that long winning streak. They did what they do. And they got to the number one seed with a few weeks left in the season. Didn't hold on to it. And then here they are, the number two seed. And so I think even the most hardcore Chiefs fans had their doubts, right? It never got to the point for me where I thought they were going to be, you know, they were going to be out of the postseason. I did think, man, this is going to be a dogfight until the end for the division title with the Chargers. Now the Chargers stubbed their toes a couple of times and allowed the Chiefs to catch up and surpass them. And so they had to cooperate, and the Chiefs still had to go out there and win in L.A., which was not easy to do. And they pulled it off, and what it was interesting, I was somebody, I don't know who the hell it was, some NFL writer tweeted out, it was our man from The Athletic that used to write for The Ringer. He's from Chicago.
Robert Mays.
He went to Mizzou. Robert Mays. He said, "Here, let's see what your opinions on some different kind of awards. You know, breakout player, best assistant coach, and one of the, and it was like cool stuff. And getting, yeah. And other NFL writers were weighing in. And one of the awards, you know, game of the year, regular season game of the year, and it was very unofficial and unscientific. But I was scrolling through, and the game that I saw pop up the most was the Chiefs Chargers Thursday night football game. And we get caught up in it. We think it's a great game because the Chiefs won. And, you know, it's always interesting to see what other people thought. There were some votes for Chiefs and Bengals. There were some votes for Chiefs Ravens. I thought that was a stupid game.
Yeah.
The way it ended. But if you weren't a Chiefs fan, that was a wild game, right?
Yeah.
All hell broke loose in Chiefs Ravens.
Kaplan says one of the best games he's seen.
Right. And so it was interesting. The Chiefs were a part of three different games that were getting several votes for game of the year. But the game I agree with it because the Chiefs won, but Chiefs Chargers was one of the games of the year.
Yeah.
But that's what
it took.
Best
game I saw all year.
That's what it took to overcome the Chargers. And so my point is, I sense a little bit, I mean, clearly people are excited. Clearly people feel much differently now than they did when the Chiefs were 3-4. But I do feel like, since there's like some disappointment, like, oh, they had the number one seed and they blew it, and now I don't know. And I get that. I was super pissed when they lost to Cincinnati. Just go back to the podcast on Monday show. That sucked. And I was very excited about the Chiefs having the number one seed. But damn it, to put everything in perspective, think about where they were at 3-4. Think about how god-awful this defense looked. What were some of the things we were saying about the defense earlier in the season?
Well, Adam Teicher came on the show and asked us the question, what's this defense good at? What do they hang their hat on? And we had nothing.
Well, there was no answer to it.
There was nothing they were good at.
We were asking ourselves, is this worse than the 2018 defense that got Bob Sutton fired? Is this the worst defense we've seen since when? You know, some people were asking, is this defense as bad as the 2003 defense that led the Chiefs to the no-punt game in the playoffs? And clearly that was the weak link of the team, and that offense was good enough to be in the Super Bowl, and that defense was not good enough to be in the toilet bowl. All those things were on the table, right? You're exactly right. What were they good at? I don't know. Can't get to the quarterback. Can't cover anyone. Can't stop the run. And they turned everything around. And they elevated all the way back to the number one seed, dropped back to the number two seed, but here we are. And so the question I have for you, to put things in perspective, and on that day that they went 3-4, if I told you that the end of this story is going to be them playing in Denver on a Saturday afternoon and they just need a win to secure the number two seed, and there's like a 2% chance to get the one seed, but win the last game of the year at Denver and get the number two seed, how quick would you have signed up for that?
Oh, very quickly. Very quickly.
Right?
Yep. Yes.
It didn't feel that way now because you had the number one. You tasted the number one seed and it tasted good, but then it was ripped out of your mouth just as you're enjoying the flavor of it.
it was one of those pies wafting in front of my nose, and then it was taken away.
You took a bite. Oh, this number one seed that tastes so good, and the juice is spilling down your chin.
So tender.
You get it all over your shirt, and you're just, you know, and then all of a sudden,
you
have to follow it. And then someone ripped that number one seed out of your mouth. You're like, what the hell? I'm not done eating that. Now, here's your number two seed. Now, maybe that number two seed doesn't taste as sweet as the number one seed, but how does that number two seed taste compared to 3-4 and the harumph-harumphs?
Yeah.
And Mike Bodick, ain't going to the playoffs. Or the crowd, NFL figured out the Chiefs. Remember those blanket statements?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They got Mahomes figured out.
Oh, this cover two. They can't, you know, they can't deal with that.
This thing's over, you know.
That was three-day-old cold pizza.
The decline has begun.
You're eating that.
Yeah, how many times has Bieniemy asked that? Hey, the league seems to be figuring you guys out.
Well, at the end of the day.
Everything. Yay.
When it's all said and done.
Got to move on from Spags. He's been exposed. just try to think back all the hot takes. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is, hey, don't feel bad that the Chiefs are playing for the number two seed. Be excited. Every other team in the AFC right now, including Cincinnati, wishes they were in Kansas City spot except for Tennessee. Tennessee is the only team that's, you know, hey, we're the number one seed. We're good. Everyone else in the AFC wishes they were in the Chiefs spot. That's a good spot to be in. No, they don't get the bye week if they end up as number two seed. Yes, they have to play in the opening weekend of the playoffs. But damn it, they're still the number two seed with still a hell of a chance, if they win those first two games, to host the AFC Championship game And we get to watch the Chiefs go and secure that bag by beating the Broncos tomorrow for the 13th time in a row. And maybe getting their coach fired. Which I don't, I kind of don't want that. I want, right. you know, come on, Broncos, show some fight when you're right. down, you know, when you're down 18 late, you know. This secure team didn't give up on Vic Fangio. We're not going to, and you know what? We're not going to give up on Vic Fangio. We're
they
bringing
still
him
believe
back.
In him, and so do we.
Now, Vic, go out there and pick a mediocre veteran quarterback that you think can lead you to 9 wins. Who is
between
it?
Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield.
Too good. Both of those guys are too good for Vic Fangio.
No.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Yeah, you got to go find yes. the best backup quarterback.
You can't. Yeah, you can't go from Joe Flacco and Teddy Bridgewater to that elite group. Yeah, that's the two, you know.
Those are two future backups.
Fangio, those two prima donnas. No, you got to.
That's right.
Come on, Minshew. Come on over here.
There you go.
I don't even know. He might have too much upside.
Minshew mania.
You know? That's a good question. That's a good question. What mediocre
Sam
veteran
Darnold,
quarterback?
You know,
maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Ouch.
No.
That's what group would you put him in?
No. Yeah, you know.
It stings, but you know what? Just rip the Band-Aid off and get move on with it.
Tyrod Taylor still kicking
good.
It around.
That's
they
right there.
Games.
That's right.
That
there's the group
the
you're
playoffs.
Looking at.
No, that guy's too good.
You know,
Joe Flacco won Super Bowls. I mean, let's.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about 5 years later, Joe Flacco.
Well, we're talking about Tyrod Taylor can't stay on the field.
That's what you
that's
know.
A good one.
Vic Fangio could say, hey, this guy won't turn the football over, and we like, you know.
Veteran leadership.
Boy, I like what he has to say in the room, in the quarterback room.
Game manager.
You know, all of it. So yes, we're still somewhat reeling from that loss to Cincinnati, but damn it, this is a great spot to be in. Playing for the number 2 seed and getting an opportunity to spank that Denver ass. Just go, this little whip, whip, whip. You know? To hold little brother, man. You know a little something about that, Jake. Hold little brother at arm's length. Like, oh, look at you. Look at you. You're trying to.
Two fingers.
You're trying to punch me. God, and then Mahomes just comes over there. So that's all. Because I still sense some disappointment. For me, too. I look in the mirror like, get over it.
Team's got to get over it because they do got to go win a game.
Get over it, dummy.
Tomorrow.
That's exactly right. Tomorrow, Chiefs, Broncos. Chiefs playing for the number 2 seed with an outside shot at the 1 seed. Go Texans. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Today on the show, we're going to talk to Stan Weber, get his thoughts on what K-State did to LSU down in the Texas Bowl, and also his thoughts on the Chiefs and Broncos and the other big games coming up this weekend in the NFL, and also get some college basketball in there as well. Gary Lezak will be with us, the Border Patrol Fast Break, Jesse Newell, Gabe DeArmond, and Jay Heidrich, and then Robert Mays. He's going to be on the show. And we'll talk to Robert Mays from The Athletic again about the weekend in the NFL and Robert Mays' tweet that I was enamored with last night and reading through. These were his made-up categories for NFL awards. Let me get your votes. So Jake, you'll have to pay attention for minimum 5 minutes. Then you go back and La La Land.
Wait, right now?
Who's your breakout player? And I think breakout player he kind of I don't define as a youngerish, you know, younger player that.
So it shouldn't be a rookie, probably.
No, you know,
Jamar Chase is the first person.
Yeah,
I think
no, that's you know
rookie, so
someone that's like been in the league
been
and
in
then
the league and had
you know,
all of a sudden had a big blow up year.
Right.
I mean, gosh, you could say Joe Burrow because he didn't have a great year last year.
Some people were voting Joe Burrow.
That's maybe recency bias on my part
breakout.
To just watch
I mean,
those guys.
Cooper Kupp's put together some
breakout.
Yeah. I mean, but he's
been good anyway. But yeah, this is different. He's
right, next level. He, and plus, He's staying healthy. That's
he's having one of the greatest
for him.
He's having one of the greatest years a receiver's ever had statistically. So he would certainly count.
Should be a candidate for MVP, as Jake pointed out, and I think he's right.
I mean, Jonathan Taylor could be the same thing,
right?
And he was good, but this
good,
is
yeah.
quite a breakout, right? I'm seeing some other. I'm looking at votes right now. Cooper Kupp, Jonathan Taylor, Joe Burrow. Max Crosby, the Raiders, that's a good one. Debo Samuel. Yeah, just think of like fantasy guys who had unbelievable years have played over their projections. Debo Samuel, he'd be close to the top of the list, right?
Absolutely.
Anyone else you like? Mm. Who would be the Chiefs breakout player?
Gay?
Yeah, Willie Gay probably would be the first person that I would think of.
Anyone else?
I mean, this is low level. Breakout might be too strong, but Gore has been a revelation this year to me. Somebody I didn't really expect anything of before the year started, and I really like him. You know, I mean, he's not having some breakout, but
he started on the practice squad.
How about Darrell Williams?
I feel like he's done about what I thought he would do this year.
Real?
Yeah.
1,000 yards in scrimmage.
Is he at 1,000? Okay, I guess that surprises me a little bit.
I mean, not running the football total.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's still pretty impressive, considering he's theoretically the backup.
I said
theoretically.
Right.
I mean, I see him as a guy that would split the production this year.
I think this will, so like last year, he had 169 yards rushing and 116 receiving. This year, he has 541 rushing and 422 receiving.
That's a breakout.
And so that what's that 963? He has a decent. I mean, Clyde's not going to play tomorrow officially, so he has, I mean, 1,000 yards from scrimmage when the most he's had before was 300 yards.
Yeah, that's
from
fair.
Scrimmage, right?
Yeah.
As far as touchdowns, I mean, he has 8. And last year he had 1.
It just strikes me that this music is the exact same music as the song West End Boys. At least the start of the song.
Jake's dad loved this song.
West End Boys.
But that's a breakout. Does that surprise you that
it does surprise
his 70
me.
Yards compared to what he's had in the past?
Yes, yes.
I think that's the perfect definition. Pat myself on the back for that suggestion. So I would say Darrell Williams. Assistant Coach of the Year, I saw two different Chiefs mentioned in this. Someone nominated Spags, and I saw Andy Heck as a nomination. Would you
I like it.
I think
those are both very worthy nominees.
You got a second-round pick who's – and the player gets all the credit, really. But you've got a second-round pick and a sixth-round pick starting – in the interior offensive line. You went out and spent a bunch of money on Orlando Brown, and people wanted to run Orlando Brown out of town. That rhymed. The first month of the season, and I thought he turned out to be pretty damn good. I mean, Lucas Niang, I thought they got...
basically a rookie.
The most out of him while he was playing. And then Andrew Wiley's going in. I like at least Andy Heck getting some consideration for the job that he's done, because the offensive line has been quite an improvement, and there's a lot of different pieces they had to put together and
they rebuilt the whole thing. They rebuilt the entire starting offensive line, and mostly with young people, and it's gotten better as the year's gone on. So, yeah, he absolutely...
And I don't want to hear, Creed Humphrey, and everyone knew they were going to be good. Well, if everyone knew they were going to be good, Creed Humphrey would have gone earlier than he did, and Trey Smith would have gone in the sixth round. So I don't want to hear it.
I still, that Trey Smith pick, what a pick.
It's just amazing that he was there.
Creed Humphrey, I don't talk about it enough. Creed, yeah, but he's a second-round pick, right?
Right.
So you expect your first and second-round picks to be impact
but
players.
Do you expect your second-round pick to grade out as the best player at his position?
No, but he was expected to play.
Sure.
He was expected to potentially win a starting spot, which he did. But the fact that they took Trey Smith in the sixth round and the guy has been at the level that he's been at, I don't feel like I've talked about it enough.
And I just and look, that's just human nature. You're quick to credit Brett Veach, credit the player, credit Andy Heck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was given these players in a wide variety of ways. They acquired them, veterans, young guys, guys, you know, playing different positions. And I thought that I think they've gotten the most out of the offensive line. And what's happened at right tackle? Has there been a big drop off when Wiley's been in there? No. Last week, was it when Allegretti came in and Tooney had to go to left tackle? You know, that says something, that says a lot about Brett Veach and the player acquisition, but also, what are you doing to develop those players and to get all those pieces to fit? I think Andy Heck deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, and I think the acquisition of Tooney in the offseason, I think that has been vital for these young players to be around one of the best, if not the best, offensive linemen at his position in the league.
Someone named Timo, it's either Risk or Risky or Risque. He's from Germany for Pro Football Focus. And I see that he makes people mad. He said that was he rated that as the worst offseason free agent signing.
That means it's the best, right? Over in Germany, it's backwards over there?
I don't know. Pro Football Focus says it's the worst, so you're wrong.
Yeah, well, you know how much I read Pro Football Focus?
How much?
None.
Wow.
Zero.
A little bit?
None.
You look at the grades?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Damn. On that note, we should break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. Let's get back to enjoying the Chiefs having a chance to beat the Broncos for the 13th consecutive time. There was a good piece in the Kansas City Star by Pete Gradoff for Pete's sake. When, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Denver Post columnist Mark Kisla wrote a column and has asked Denver fans to boycott the game tomorrow. He said, "There's only one real way to send a message to lame duck President Joe Ellis that paying customers will no longer hold their noses and put up with the stink Denver has thrown on the field since Super Bowl 50, expecting gullible fans to cheer, then drown their sorrow in overpriced beer. If you have tickets to the final home game of another lost season, do not use them. Sell them to the faithful followers of the Kansas City Chiefs, or dump them in protest in the trash. Take the tickets to the Ring of Fame Plaza at the north end of Empower Field and shred them as a sacrifice to the bust of the late, great Floyd Little to demonstrate this no-account mediocrity will no longer be tolerated." And so he tweeted out a few days ago, Mark Kisla, "How many Chiefs fans will there be at Mile High next weekend? 10,000, 20,000 more? You tell me." A Broncos fan named Jason said, "I sold 4 seats to Chiefs fans because that is what the Broncos deserve." Are you listening to this?
Wow.
Are you listening to this? Do you remember when that used to be one of, if not the toughest places to play in the NFL? Do you remember when the Chiefs couldn't buy a win at Mile High Stadium against the Denver Broncos? Do you remember that was just a wish and a prayer that the Chiefs would win in Mile High until Joe Montana and the Monday night frickin' miracle? The unbelievable game against John Elway and the Broncos where Joe Montana brought the Chiefs back and won the game and they finally got over that hump? And now this is what it is? You got columnists telling people to shred their tickets or sell them to the faithful followers of the Kansas City Chiefs? And I'm just reading all these replies to this tweet, right? David Hutch in Denver is his handle. "At least two-thirds of the stadium will be rooting for KC. Probably 40,000 Chiefs fans, 20,000 Broncos fans, and 15,000 no-shows." Cecil LeMay, who I've been on his radio show in Denver, 104.3 The Fan, wrote on his website, it'll be interesting to see how many no-shows there are in Week 18. I imagine the number will be greater than 10,000 no-shows. Could be higher as high as 20,000 no-shows. That's a preposterous number for any team, and it's ridiculous for a team like Denver with a pride and tradition of selling out since the 70s. I hope I'm wrong, but it could seem, look, and sound like a Chiefs home game on Saturday.
Wow.
Did you ever think it would? That's wild. I hate to take any joy in another fan base's sorrow,
do
but
you?
It provides a tremendous amount of joy, their sorrow, for me. Is that wrong?
God, we're not talking about a team that's like 1-15 or whatever.
But they're used to making the playoffs.
I know.
And they haven't made the playoffs since Super Bowl 50. They haven't been in the playoffs.
Somebody tweeted us up, Mitch Trubisky to Denver.
Too good.
Was it Mitch Trubisky? <They tweeted in.
laughs> Too good.
Good idea.
Too
on
good.
His part.
No, that would actually be a pretty good pickup for them.
Cecil LeMay also tweeted, and so because we talk about Vic Fangio just from the perspective that, boy, we're glad he's the coach of the Broncos because they won't figure out quarterback and they won't really be a playoff team as long as he's there. I mean, we see that and we appreciate it. He tweeted, Vic Fangio is incredibly arrogant as a head coach and all that entails. However, he's a master manipulator who has warmed up to the right people in the franchise. I hope those in the front office will finally say, enough is enough. And so he's encouraging Broncos fans to sell tickets to Chiefs fans and make that a Chiefs home game on Saturday. And maybe that'll get the message. So you got a big group of Broncos fans are rooting for so many Chiefs fans to be there that they'll send a message to ownership and they'll fire the coach. That's where they are right now. That's just wonderful. Really? And like I get what you're saying. They're not the worst team in the league. They've been competitive. They've had a couple of nice wins.
They've got a good defense.
But that's not enough. That's not enough for a team. Hey, the Broncos were a perennial playoff contender, many times a Super Bowl contender when they had the right quarterback. They can't get in the playoffs. And they are now they're eating their own. They're attacking each other. But just leave enough for Patrick Mahomes to feast tomorrow, would you please? Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. I've been concerned that the headphones are going to mess up my new my Peaky Blinders hat. You guys didn't respond to my text when I sent you the label. It's Peaky Blinders. It's official licensed merchandise. It was delivered via Royal Mail.
Yeah, get them razor blades in there, bro.
It's very exciting. Very exciting for me.
Royal Mail.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What? See that? Peaky Blinders.
I see it.
I put a razor blade in there. Right here. Right there, I put a razor blade in there. Susan said the same thing. Where's the razor blade? I said, you just wait. You just wait.
That's custom.
And it fits my pumpkin-sized 8 head, which is very exciting. Is that the first thing that popped in your head when you saw me? Oh, Peaky Blinders. Look at this guy.
Yep. Don't hit me with that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Stan Weber in the 7 o'clock hour. Remember, the Chiefs play tomorrow, so get your mind right. Get your weekend schedule right.
Curveball.
Do you like it or not? Do you wish they were playing on Sunday, or do you like the Saturday?
I'd rather see him on Sunday, but that's fine.
Why? Why?
I don't know. It's just...
I think I'm with Nate on that.
NFL Sunday.
Just tell me why.
Just because there's going to be all these games going on, I'd like the Chiefs to be participating.
But doesn't that free you up to watch all these other games on Red Zone Channel and not have to be locked
sure.
in? Because I don't, when I'm watching the Chiefs, I don't pay attention to nothing else.
Well, that's also part of my problem is Jayhawks play at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
I don't want to hear that.
Not happy about that.
Yeah, you know.
I don't like that.
Shockingly, that doesn't impact
That doesn't
me,
bother you.
No.
It bothers
shocking.
Me.
Mm. I thought it would really ruffle your feathers.
Mm-mm. I was just getting ready to say something about Missouri, but I have no idea what time their game is.
We'll ask Gabe DeArmond.
No, seriously. That is such a pathetic answer from me.
I understand.
That I don't know what time their game is. I'm just being honest. I don't. Let's look. This segment is called Steven Tries to Figure Out What Time Missouri Basketball Plays.
Well, you got 2 minutes left in the segment, so you better figure it out.
Scores. Well, they're not going to be listed in the top 25 there, so I got to change that to SEC. Down here. Okay, SEC. I know they're playing Alabama.
Go Alabama.
Go Alabama.
2:30. Oh, shucks, can't watch it. Wow. Now I'm really mad. You watch, they're going to have like some super performance at some point and beat a good team and I will not have seen it.
Yeah, but I know how that feels too. When your team's irrelevant and then they have their one good game for the year.
Are you tuning in at the end?
What does that even really mean? Does it mean anything?
Because here's the deal. They could be winning in the second half and I won't turn it on because I'll be watching the Chiefs. There's I won't even look at it.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Will you try to watch Kansas or will you focus on the Chiefs?
I might flip over during commercials a couple times.
You'll have two TVs.
Someone should reach to the television and slap you right in your mouth.
Yeah,
you
I mean, I might have
the
side TV, one of the side TVs on it. You know. But
that's
I'm
a big
locked
game.
In on the Chiefs.
Kansas game's a big game, Texas Tech.
Of course it is, yeah.
Kansas will win.
I think they will.
Alabama's number 15. Tune on the SEC. What that line is. There's your... There's my dilemma. There's my question. Will during a commercial break, will I flip over and check out any of Mizzou, Alabama? What do you think the answer is?
No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Negative.
I say we'll see.
Okay.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for watching us on 38 The Spot. Coming up. We'll talk to Stan Weber, Gary Lezak, Jesse Newell, Gabe DeArmond, Jay Heidrich, and Robert Mays from The Athletic. All that and more between now and 10 o'clock right here on this Friday edition of the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.